greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with African football. Egypt, Nigeria, Tunisia, Senegal, Ivory Coast, and the Democratic Republic of Congo all scored victories over the weekend in qualifying matches for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. And let's give Sunny Side of Sports salutes to the Pharaohs of Egypt and the Super Eagles of Nigeria. They were the only teams to score road victories, each picking up a valuable 3 points in hostile territory. In Brazzaville, the Egyptians defeated the Republic of the Congo 2-1, getting goals from Mohamed Salah and Abdallah Saeed. And in Angola, the Nigerians moved to the top of Group B with a 2-1 victory over host Zambia. Arsenal man Alex Iwobi opened the scoring for the Super Eagles in the 32nd minute. And then Manchester City's young star, Kelechi Iheanacho, who celebrated his 20th birthday last week, scored Nigeria's second goal 10 minutes later. Collins Mbesuma scored Zambia's goal in the 71st minute. It was a morale-boosting victory for Nigeria, which is bidding for its sixth World Cup appearance, but failed to qualify for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Gabon. And this quick Nations Cup note, the draw for the 16-team Africa Cup of Nations tournament will take place October 19th in Libreville, Gabon. But let's get back to Africa's World Cup qualifying competition. In Group A, Tunisia and the Democratic Republic of Congo moved to the top of the table with victories at home. In Monastir, the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia defeated Guinea 2-0 on second-half goals from Ayman Abdennour and Anis Ben Hatira. And in Kinshasa, the Leopards of the DRC cruised past Libya 4-0. Dumasi Mbokani had 2 goals for the Congolese, and Jonathan Bolingi and Fermin Mubele also scored. In Group B, I already mentioned Nigeria's 2-1 road victory over Zambia. And in the other group match, Algeria and visiting Cameroon played to a 1-1 draw in Blida. In Group C, the Elephants of the Ivory Coast moved to the top with a 3-1 victory over visiting Mali in Bouake. Jonathan Kodjia and Gervino scored for Ivory Coast, and their third goal came off an own goal by Malian defender Salif Koulibaly. Turning to Group D, the Lions of Teranga from Senegal are at the top of the table after a 2-0 victory over the visiting Blue Sharks from the Cape Verde Islands. Keita and Moussa Sow had the goals for the Senegalese in Dakar. In the other group match, the Stallions of Burkina Faso got a late equalizer from Banu Diawara to draw 1-1 with visiting South Africa in Ouagadougou. Dean Furman had given the South Africans a 1-0 lead with a goal in the 80th minute. Finally, in Group E, I already mentioned Egypt's 2-1 road victory over Congo Brazzaville. In the other group match, host Ghana and Uganda played to a scoreless draw. The next round of African World Cup qualifiers will be played the weekend of November 11th, 12th, and 13th, and then there will be a break until the end of August 2017. Africa's World Cup qualifying matches will continue into early November 2017. At that point, we'll know the five African group winners who will be representing the continent in Russia in 2018. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA News Feeds. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOAsunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOAsunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page today, Monday, you'll see a photo of me in the studio with Barry Mond, old sports emperor. Barry retired in 1999. After a royal reign on our Voice of America airwaves, I sometimes get asked by our VOA listeners, "Hey, Sonny, what's the old sports emperor up to these days?" Well, Barry has stayed pretty active in retirement. He's done a lot of traveling, written a travel book, and he's now living in the southern U.S. state of Georgia. In fact, Barry says he has fond memories of being in Georgia during the 1996 Atlanta Olympics, when Nigeria won Africa's first ever gold medal in men's football. The U.S. men's national soccer team will host New Zealand Tuesday night in a friendly match at RFK Stadium here in Washington. The Americans are coming off a 2-0 victory over host Cuba in Havana in another friendly match. It was only the second time in 69 years the USA has played in Havana. The USA's head coach, Jurgen Klinsmann, says it was a memorable trip.
This game obviously had a special character. You know, we came here invited by the Cuban Federation to play this friendly game, which is, I think, for our players something very different, very special. And they embraced that idea, and we came down here, and the people were super friendly, and it was a tremendous experience. I think all the players were thrilled to come here. You know, they were curious, you know, and they got to know a little bit Havana, and for them, I think it was a wonderful experience.
Coach Klinsmann says it was a wonderful experience, but playing on the rocky pitch in Havana, not so much.
But at the end of the day, the field was a field that was not playable. You couldn't play on this field. So I'm glad that the game is done. I'm glad that everybody's healthy. Besides, unfortunately, Steve Bilmer got a cut. But I want to give the team a huge compliment after we saw the field yesterday at training, that they just said, you know what, it's not good, but let's get the job done. Let's do it. And that's what they did.
The USA got second-half goals from Chris Wondolowski and Julian Green. Wondolowski, nicknamed Wando, is a striker for the San Jose Earthquakes in Major League Soccer. And Wando tells us it was a good victory in the Cuban capital.
Yeah, it's nice to get a win. It's not easy conditions, you know, with travel field and, you know, weather, and also just an organized Cuba team. I thought they played well, had a good game plan, and took us a while to keep the game plan and break them down a little bit.
That's Chris Wondolowski, who plays for the U.S. men's national team and the San Jose Earthquakes in Major League Soccer. Wando has returned to San Jose and will not be playing for the USA in the friendly against New Zealand here in Washington Tuesday night. Coach Klinsmann has made several changes to his roster for the friendly. Now let's go to St. Andrews in Scotland, nicknamed the home of golf. That's where Tyrrell Hatton has won his first European Tour title, lifting the trophy at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Hatton closed with a 66 and won by four strokes over fellow Englishman Ross Fisher and the South African Richard Stearney. Nick Dye tells us more from St. Andrews.
Hatton's third round 62 here at the Old Course set the platform, and with a three strokes advantage into the final round, he was never threatened. It was much to his annoyance that he dropped a shot at the 17th because everything had been so smooth and controlled, despite admitting being nervous about the situation. Stearney and Fisher both shot good low scores, but they couldn't dent Hatton's authority. Danny Willett teamed up with his caddy, Jonathan Smart, and won the pro-am element of the event. But the main honours go to a hugely impressive Hatton, who gets over the line after two second-place finishes this season and will rise to around 35 in the world rankings.
It's a dream come true for me to win. I've wanted this moment since I was 6 years old. So it's a very special day for me and my family.
When you're having those dreams, do they include the Old Course winning here? It makes it all the more special, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes it more special. Obviously, to do it at the home of golf is fantastic. And, hopefully I can have a good end of the year now.
Are you very proud of the way that you've closed it out, because you looked so solid and assured out there?
Yeah, it didn't feel that way. I was quite nervous for the majority of the round, but, I played really solid today and hold some good putts, and that kept the momentum going, and that was key to winning this week.
And you were knocked, weren't you, with that bogey later on?
Yeah, I was, because I didn't drop a shot yesterday and I wanted to go bogey free again today, but, pulled my second shot, and in that bunker is just a no-go, and is what it is.
We touched on this yesterday, but is there any reason why it's always Lynx golf that you're playing so well at?
I really don't know. Hopefully we can play Lynx golf like every year next year. I think that'd be great. I'm just so happy that got the win and looking forward to the next week now.
Is there something about having Jamie Dornan alongside and Ross Fisher in that final group as well that's helped relax you?
Yeah, definitely. Really good friends with Fish. We've been eating dinner pretty much every night this week. So it was good to be out with him, and obviously playing with Jamie Dornan. We had great fun all week. He's such a nice guy, and it helped me relax for sure.
That's English golfer Tyrrell Hatton, winner of the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship Tournament at St. Andrews in Scotland. And thanks to reporter Nick Dye for that report from the home of golf.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Tennis news now on the Voice of America. World number one Novak Djokovic is in China this week. Djokovic has returned to defend his Shanghai Masters title after missing the China Open with an elbow injury. The Serbian star lost to Switzerland's Stan Wawrinka in the final of the U.S. Open in New York City last month. Djokovic says he's eager to get back on the court in Shanghai.
Rehabilitation has been going well. I got to have some weeks with my family and also to do things off the tennis court and off the tour. I'm happy to be back in Shanghai, the place where I had some wonderful memories before, and just looking forward to get on the court.
Novak Djokovic will get on the court first in Shanghai against the Italian Fabio Fognini. Djokovic admits the past 3 months have been kind of up and down for him.
I think it was good for me to have that extra week because I had plenty of things to do and also rest my mind a little bit and come fresher here. I'm really trying to refine that kind of sense of happiness and intrinsic joy really on being on the court. I've lost that a little bit after French Open because it took a lot out of me. Obviously, it was very fulfilling, winning it for the first time in my career after putting a lot of expectations and pressure by myself, but also people around. And so the last 3 months were quite up and down, but I'm redefining and restructuring my mindset and the way I want to perceive, I guess, my career from this moment on.
Serbian tennis star Novak Djokovic speaking in Shanghai, China. The Sunny Side of Sports remembers former world boxing champion Aaron the Hawk Pryor, who died Sunday at his home in Cincinnati, Ohio, after a long battle with heart disease. Aaron Pryor was 60 years old. The Hawk had also struggled with cocaine addiction during his career. In the early 1980s, Pryor had two memorable action-packed bouts with the late Nicaraguan star Alexis Arguello. Pryor won both fights. Aaron Pryor was a fan favorite who fought with a frenetic style, rarely, if ever, taking a step backward. He was world junior welterweight champion from 1980 to 1985, and he retired with a record of 39 wins and one loss with 35 knockouts. For our VOA boxing fans keeping score, the only man to beat Aaron Pryor in the professional ranks was American Bobby Joe Young in 1987. Aaron the Hawk Pryor was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame in 1996. Aaron Pryor dead at the age of 60. Joining us once again in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you on Columbus Day here in the U.S.
Welcome back, Andrew, on the holiday here in the USA. What is trending in the sports world?
Well, I want to start actually outside the sports world because there's a big political story that's trending that has some connections to the sports world. I was here in Studio 22 last night with our colleague Lori London covering the second presidential debate. And that debate came after a video came out this past weekend of Donald Trump making some lewd remarks about women. And this issue came up last night at the debate, and Donald Trump said it's locker room talk. It's something that, this is what guys would talk like in the locker room. That doesn't sit well with a lot of people, notably a lot of athletes. They've come out on social media to say this is not at all what we talk about or talk like in a locker room. Very, strongly against Trump's assertion that this is how people would talk in a sports setting or anything like that. They say, no, we don't talk like that at all. We, try to build each other up, and we have positive conversations. And some athletes have even tweeted out and said if anybody did talk like that, they would shut it down. They would stop them from doing so right away, immediately. That wouldn't be accepted at all. And then on top of these athletes coming out and saying this, you have one high school coach who wrote an article titled Not in My Locker Room. He talks about his high school students saying that he tries to build them up and tries to encourage them and tries to make them better people through athletics and does not encourage or condone any of this kind of talk. And then even one female broadcaster, Lisa Guerrero, she tweeted out and said, as a female sportscaster, I spent 12 years in locker rooms and was never spoken to or assaulted like Trump described, ever. So very, very strong words from the sports world that this assertion that this is just locker room banter. These athletes, fans, and coaches are saying absolutely not.
So kind of a backlash from the sports world for the presidential candidate.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've talked on the show in the past that both candidates, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, have support from the sports world. Donald Trump has Bobby Knight, the legendary college basketball coach, who's supporting him. I believe Mike Ditka, who is the former Chicago Bears U.S. football coach.
Don King,
the boxing promoter. Hillary Clinton has Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, and LeBron James has also come out and endorsed Hillary Clinton. So both of them have support from the sports world and more athletes, team owners, coaches weighing in. But as far as this issue with these remarks that Donald Trump made about assaulting women, near universal that the sports world is saying we don't condone this. And even further, we don't think that this is anywhere near locker room talk. It shouldn't be associated with the sports world.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we don't usually spend a ton of time talking about college football on the show. U.S. football, American-style football played in colleges. But this story was just so great, and it went viral over the weekend for a couple of great reasons. So there's a steakhouse chain here in the U.S. called Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. They're all over. There's one in D.C. They're, you know, in most every major city. And there's one in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Now, that's where the University of Michigan is. So this Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Ann Arbor, Michigan said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do a promotion. The University of Michigan football team, every point that they win by in their game, we're going to give people 1% off of their bill. We're going to give them a 1% discount. So if the University of Michigan wins by 15 points or 20 points, they get a 15 or 20% discount. Here's the problem with that this past weekend. The University of Michigan played Rutgers University, and they beat them 78-0. Now, that in and of itself, that was a trending story over the weekend, that Michigan's rout of Rutgers, 78-0. I mean, usually if you get, you know, in the upper 30s, 35, 40 points in a football game, that's a big score. So 78 points is huge. And then not just 78 points, but 78-0.
So my $100 stake at Ruth's Chris will now cost $22, Andrew?
Well, that's what social media quickly figured out, because the first thing everybody reacted to was, oh my gosh, this was such a huge blowout for Michigan. And the second thing was, wait a minute, if they're giving a percent off every point difference, now keep in mind it was point difference, if Michigan had won 78-58, it only would have been 20 points difference. Rutgers didn't score, so it was 78 point difference. So people saying, yes, we're going to get a 78% discount at the Ruth's Chris. Well, Ruth's Chris Steakhouse had to go online and put on their Facebook page to clarify and say, we're capping it at 50%. So you can't get a 78% off steak to preserve their business. But it didn't stop people. I saw a number of tweets with people saying, hey, got any plans this weekend? We're going to take a road trip to go to Ann Arbor to go to eat at Ruth's Chris because we're going to get a discounted meal. No word if they're going to continue this promotion throughout the season. If Michigan keeps playing like this, they might have to adjust it again for the purposes of their bottom line.
Interesting. Well, on that note, Andrew, what else is what other appetizing sports tidbits do you have for
us? Well, we go from food to drink and from promotions to, I guess, a new policy that's been instituted. We, of course, talked about last week a fan at the American League wild card game between the Toronto Blue Jays and the Baltimore Orioles, and a fan threw a beer into the field and almost hit an Orioles player. Well, now the Toronto Blue Jays have announced all beer will be served in cups, so it can't be thrown onto the field. So for fans in Toronto, that's going to be a change for them. No word if any other team is going to institute this and start putting beer in cups, or if Major League Baseball as a whole is going to change their policy. But certainly in Toronto, after that scary incident, they're doing something to try to prevent that from happening again. And hopefully it won't happen again.
Good change.
Yeah, I think
from
so.
From a security standpoint.
I think fans are generally supportive of that. As long as they don't stop serving beer, fans are okay with it.
Thank you, Andrew. That's Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. And I'll see you on Tuesday, Andrew.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
And that wraps up the October 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
On October 12, 1492, three Spanish ships under the leadership of Christopher Columbus landed on an island in what is today the Bahamas. The anniversary of that event, observed annually in the United States as Columbus Day, initiated a vast global exchange of foods, animals, plants, peoples, and diseases that transformed the world, known today as the Columbian Exchange. For that reason, 1492 is considered by most historians to be the most significant year in modern world history. World population has increased more than four times since 1492, doubling between 1650 and 1850. Although a number of contributing factors are responsible for such enormous growth, clearly the most significant is an increased and improved food supply. The addition to the food supply of Native American food plants such as maize, potato, tomato, peanuts, manioc, pineapple, peppers, and cocoa beans was the most significant factor. The potato became the most important food source for the poor in Central and Northern Europe. Maize and manioc were introduced to Africa in the 16th century and replaced traditional African crops as the continent's most important staple food crops. The introduction to China of New World food crops, in particular potatoes, corn, and peanuts, resulted in a population boom between 1500 and 1650. By the 18th century, over one-third of the world's population lived in China. The Columbian Exchange was global, introducing new foods to every corner of the world. Before 1492, there were no oranges in Florida, no bananas in Ecuador, no paprika in Hungary. The exchange brought tomatoes to Italy, coffee to Colombia and Indonesia, pineapples to Hawaii, rubber trees to Africa, chili peppers to Thailand, China, and India, and chocolate to Switzerland. The landfall of the three small ships on an island in the Bahamas brought about unprecedented change in the course of history. It shaped the future of humankind for centuries to come, not just because of the discovery of a new continent, but because it brought about regular contact between the Earth's hemispheres, engendering trade, allowing for an exchange of ideas, and creating connections and encounters between cultures. In 1492, the peoples of the world began to come together as a global society, and that is good for all peoples.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
On the next Trade Talk Africa, political talks in the Democratic Republic of Congo have resumed after being suspended weeks ago following 2 days of deadly protests on the streets of Kinshasa. We'll discuss the latest developments in the DRC next on Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
On November 8th, American citizens will exercise their right to vote and choose their next president. VOA is providing comprehensive coverage of this unique democratic process. Who is going to earn the trust of the American people to lead the nation for the next 4 years? Find out right here on VOA.